Welcome to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. The night featuring Coast to Coast AM from July 10th, 1998.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening. Or good morning, as the case may be, depending on your time zone. From the Tahitian and Hawaiian island chains out west, eastward to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, south into South America, north all the way to the pole, and worldwide on the ever-growing, boy is it growing, internet. Hello there, I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM. We were going to have tonight a celebration of attaining the 400th affiliate. Can you believe it? That's right. Officially now, 400. We are going to have that celebration sometime next week, probably toward the end of next week, a Thursday, a Friday, something next week. But in case you're curious, we have done it. It's the 400 mark, and we try to observe in some small but official way each century mark of affiliates. So we're going to be doing that next week. Now, also next week, Tim Cannon will be here to update the chat club, which are not fan club situation, the ever-growing chat clubs across America. So that'll be that'll also be next week at some point. We're going to speak with Benjamin Krim. He's a very interesting man who is saying now that Maitreya, Brother Maitreya, is here on Earth now. Actually here on Earth now. That Maitreya will be recognized by Christians as Christ, Jews as the Messiah, Muslims, and so forth and so on. You get the idea. In other words, the big guy is here now. And a lot of people have wanted me to have him on, and so we shall. Quite a coup, actually, to get him on the air. He's here in America doing a speaking tour. Welcome. This is Coast to Coast AM. You know what? We're up to 400 affiliates. Now we're going to have a celebration. We were thinking of having it tonight, but we're going to put it off until next week. But that's it, folks. We have made for the big 400. Isn't that incredible? So we'll have a celebration next week. Let's see, what else? There's any number of pieces of news that I've got to get to, but I've got this dangerous guy that we're going to get on the air here. So I've got to get to that. Drives me nuts when people call and tell me I can't have somebody on the air. It really makes me want to have them on. I think that probably says something about my personality. I don't know what. Anyway, born in Glasgow, Scotland, Benjamin Krim began studying art at an early age, developing into an accomplished painter in the modernistic style. His paintings have been exhibited in a number of prestigious galleries. Throughout the early years, Krim also studied various aspects of esoteric philosophy, in particular the teachings released in the late 1800s. He'll tell you about those. Those teachings led him to believe in the existence of masters of wisdom, a group of perfected men who are the custodians of the divine plan for our planet. It nevertheless came as a complete surprise to him when in 59 he apparently was contacted by one of these masters. He was told, among other things, that Maitreya, the master of all masters, would return to live in the everyday world in about 20 years, and that Krim would, if he chose to, have a role in this coming. Wow. More than a decade later, in 72, Krim began a period of arduous training under his master's direction to prepare him for this coming task. In 74, he gave the first public talk on the emergence, soon giving weekly lectures in London. He is now, actually, I believe, spoken all over the world, as many as 70. Actually, his magazine is produced in 5 languages by volunteer staff and read in 70 countries. He normally resides in London with his wife and children. and now is a representative of Maitreya, a roving ambassador at large, if you will. I wonder if he's really... here is Benjamin Krem. Benjamin, are you a dangerous guy?
Oh, yes, I suppose I am.
Are you?
Very dangerous indeed. Because what I'm talking about is nothing less than the complete transformation of this world along better lines.
Well, it could use some of that.
Yes, indeed. So that's a very dangerous person to be if you are talking to people who are totally encased in the values of today and in love with the present-day structures, however evil, however insane they might be.
Uh-huh. Well, evil and insane are a couple of good words, I think, that describe today in an awful lot of ways. I wrote a book, I understand you read it, or at least excerpts.
I've been enjoying it, yes. I've been reading it the last few days.
Called The Quickening. And
yes.
Unfortunately, much of what I wrote a couple of years ago is now manifesting itself around the world.
Yes, absolutely so.
And perhaps in your unique position, you could explain to me what's going on?
Well, something quite extraordinary is going on. Nothing less than the emergence into our midst of that group of perfected men that you spoke of, the masters of wisdom, and the master of all the masters, the Lord Maitreya.
Are these what others call ascended masters?
Well, some of them are ascended. It's a hierarchy, and there are masters of different degrees.
Uh-huh.
There are the ordinary masters, as it were, who have taken all five of the major planetary initiations which eventuate as a master. And then there are degrees above that of cosmic awarenesses which make you an ascended master. But not all the masters are ascended.
Take me back to when you were first contacted. It has to be, at least it had to be at that moment, a very strange, unsettling experience for you. What happened?
Well, a man came to me and told me that I was receiving messages, communications from the masters. Now, I knew about the masters. I'd read about them through the Theosophical teachings, through the Alice Bailey teachings, the Agni Yoga teachings, and firmly believed in their reality, but had not the slightest expectation of any kind of contact with them.
Was this a mortal man who came to you?
Yes, absolutely.
Knocked on your door, or what?
Well, I knew him in a different function, but he told me one day that I was receiving communications from the masters, and I said, no, I'm not. He said, oh, yes, you are, and I have been sent to tell you that you are. I said, well, I don't hear them. It is normally a telepathic rapport which they establish with their disciples. He said, no, the messages come to you, but they just bounce off you. I said, why is that? He said, because you're not open. Now, I didn't know what that meant because, as I say, I believed in the fact of the masters, but I wasn't thinking about them. I wasn't expecting any communications. I just believed in their existence. He said, don't worry, it'll come, it'll settle down. And probably because I had been alerted to the fact, within about, I've forgotten now, 5, maybe 6 weeks, the first contact got through. It was the 3rd of January, 1959. And I heard, it was as if a beam of light or energy had been focused at my head, and my consciousness was raised by several notches, and there was created a kind of inner tranquil space. All my own thoughts disappeared, and into that space was placed a message as clear as your voice over the telephone now. It said, go to, if you know London, Blackfriars Bridge, South Side, Blackheath Side, and it gave me a date. It was about 3 weeks ahead, 18th of January, 9:30 p.m., and I wrote this down so I wouldn't forget it.
Right.
And on the time, I went out there with, you know, quite a thrilling expectation, because I didn't know what I was going to find. And I crossed the bridge down to the south side. There was no one about it. It's a very business area, south bank of Black Flowers Bridge. At night, it's pretty deserted. But there was a car waiting at the far end of the bridge, and I sidled up and sort of looked inside it. And there were some people in whom I didn't know, but one of them was the man who had come and told me I was receiving these communications from the masters. The whole thing started from there.
Uh-huh.
The master's voice got louder, as I might say. He told me to get a tape recorder. I got a small Grundig tape recorder.
Grundig.
And he began to give me long dictations, which I simply mouthed aloud and recorded. And he kept doing this for about 3 months. And he was really perfecting the telepathic rapport. And I got quicker and quicker and quicker at it. I could get it, you know, without hesitation. In the beginning, it was a bit slow, but I got very good at it and just recorded whatever he said. And then sometime in March of the same year, 1959, he suddenly said, "Now switch off the machine and kneel down." Then he said, "Now our master, Maitreya himself, has something important to tell you." And then I had the most extraordinary experience of my life to date. I was overshadowed, as it's called, by Maitreya. Some probably minuscule fragment of his consciousness entered into mine. And I was filled with the love of all the world, an extraordinary experience of total identification with everything and everybody in the world. A kind of universal experience such as I had never felt before. I was filled with this tremendous energy of love, and at the same time he gave me a vision of how the masters see reality. It was as if I was inside a great sphere, a white sphere of light. And what I have to say, on the right side and the left side, because they weren't really sides, but just as a way of describing it, on my right side I could see all the events of the past which had ever taken place, going back and back, sort of in full, back and back and back into the very dawn of time. And I could see events, some of which I seemed to recognize from history in school and so on.
Wow.
Kings and queens and battles and terrible catastrophes and various events in history. And there was a kind of thin film over everything, so it wasn't sharp, but it was quite clear, nevertheless, and all in color. And then on the other side, as it were, on my left side, I could see all the events of the future, which were simultaneously taking place. And I could see myself in the future, I could see Maitreya, I could see the masters, I could see crowds of people filled with joy, shouting and calling for Maitreya and weeping and so glad. And it was extraordinary scenes. On and on into the future. And all of this was taking place simultaneously.
What a remarkable...
And that is how the masters see the world.
What a remarkable story.
Yes.
Now, it's sort of impertinent, but I have to pose this question. There are many people who see visions and hear voices. And it is a rather common psychological malady. So it's a question that should be asked right away. How are you sure that you were not suffering some sort of psychological malady when all of this occurred?
Well, I was prepared by the master. You know, this didn't happen in a kind of vacuum. This happened in response to the overshadowing by Maitreya, which had never occurred before, and was prepared in advance for me by the master, with whom I had been working daily for the 3 months before that time, from the beginning of January till sometime in March. So it wasn't something that just suddenly happened and I didn't know where it was coming from. I knew very well where it was coming from.
But even slowly, even in a preparatory manner, how could you be sure that what you were being told, what you were seeing and hearing, was real? Prepared for it or not? How could you be...
Well, put it this way, when I was first contacted by the master, I made him prove his reality to me in dozens and dozens of ways. And he did. He made things disappear. He healed animals and birds. He healed people. He did the most extraordinary things at my request to prove the validity of his being.
All right, let's understand who we're speaking of here. Maitreya. Is Maitreya Jesus and Buddha and Allah and all that is worshipped on earth now?
Maitreya is the world teacher in that group of, from our point of view, perfected men who are the spiritual hierarchy or spiritual esoteric hierarchy of the planet. They are the custodians of the plan of evolution for this planet. Most people, I think, imagine that evolution proceeds in a kind of haphazard way. It does not. It proceeds according to a very definite plan for the unfolding of the potential of the human race and of the subhuman races until a certain state of perfectionment of that evolutionary process is reached, right, and the planet will have fulfilled the plan of the heavenly man, the planetary logos, whose body of expression this planet is.
Well, believe me when I tell you that right now a lot of Christians are listening. And they will, of course, talk of Jesus, and they will consider I want to say person, but is it proper to the Messiah? You refer to Maitreya as the Messiah, correct?
Maitreya is expected by all religious people under different names. Christians await the return of the Christ as Jesus.
Right.
Maitreya overshadowed Jesus from the baptism to the crucifixion 2,000 years ago in Palestine and manifested himself as the Christ. Maitreya is the Christ in that he embodies in himself. He is so advanced and so pure, he can actually embody, not simply channel through himself, but embody in his own being what we call this Christ principle. So this planet has created a Christ. However unadvanced this planet is, and this is an extraordinary achievement, we, the Earth, have created a being high enough to embody the Christ principle. And that is what Maitreya is. He overshadowed Krishna and worked through Krishna. He overshadowed Shankaracharya and others and worked through them. He overshadowed Jesus from the baptism to the crucifixion. And he showed the love aspect. The Christ aspect is the love aspect. And he is the embodiment, the Lord of love. He showed that love in a man, in its perfection, for the first time through Jesus.
Well, Benjamin,
and Jesus is now one of his closest associates. One of the advanced, what you mentioned earlier, ascended masters.
Well, what would you say to Christians who await the return of Christ?
Well, they are right. They are awaiting the return of Christ. The Buddhists call him Maitreya Buddha, foretold to come now by Gautama Buddha, who said at this time would come into the world another great teacher, a Buddha like himself, by name Maitreya, who from his great spiritual stature would galvanize and inspire humanity to create a brilliant golden civilization.
There's also,
put it, on righteousness and truth.
Benjamin, there's also one coming who might be called Maitreya. It's going to be the Antichrist, and there are many, I bet, who believe that what you're talking about may be the emergence or the appearance of the Antichrist. So we'll ask you about that when we get back. And also, it is true that you believe Maitreya, as you call him, is here on Earth right now, correct?
Right now, living in London, England.
Living in London. All right. Okay. We're going to break here at the bottom of the hour. Zillions of you have requested Benjamin Krem, and tonight he's here. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from July 10th, 1998. Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from July 10, 1998.
Good morning, everybody. Benjamin Krim is here. He has a voice that sounds strangely like Malachi Martin's, doesn't he? He's here talking about Maitreya. Maitreya, who is here on Earth now, right now, lives in London. Woof. How about that? So, we'll get back to him in just a moment. All right. The same person who said Benjamin Krim is dangerous now writes, "You ask what's dangerous, Art? Why don't you ask one of your favorite guests, Malachi Martin, what he thinks about Benjamin Krim?" Well, I will. Because Malachi Martin will be here Monday night. As a matter of fact, a little promo time here. Brad Steiger will be here on Dreamland Sunday, and then Malachi Martin, Father Malachi Martin, will be here on Monday night. So let's go back now to Benjamin Krim. I think he's... Benjamin, you're in New York, aren't you?
I'm in New York, yes.
And actually, you that is the very same place Father Malachi Martin is. Been advisor to a couple of popes. Remarkable man. And my faxer says why I should ask Malachi Martin about you. What do you think a Catholic priest would have to say about what you're saying?
He would think I was talking about the devil, or, as you said, the Antichrist. Yes.
Yes.
I'm sure he would.
Maitreya, I'm calling him.
Yes.
How do you know that you're not?
There is a total misunderstanding of what the Antichrist is. Most Catholics, most Orthodox Christians see the Antichrist as a man who will come before the Christ and could even be mistaken for the Christ.
Right.
Will promise, you know, the moon to humanity, but in fact he is really the devil incarnate. Nothing could be further from the truth. It is not a man. The Antichrist is an energy, a force, a destructive force which is deliberately released to break down the old order and to prepare the way for the Christ. It's in Revelations of St. John, as you know, where the beast 666 is unchained for a time and then chained down for a time and half a time. This refers to what we call the Antichrist energy. It's the destructive aspect of the first aspect of God, God the Father aspect of God, the will aspect. In esoteric terminology, it has two phases. In its constructive, positive phase, it is the will to good. In its destructive phase, it is what we call the Antichrist. It's deliberately released to break down that which precedes the advent of the Christ. It was released in John's own day through the Emperor Nero to bring an end to the Roman dispensation to prepare the way for Christendom. It was released again in our time through Hitler, a group around him in Nazi Germany, together with a group of militarists in Japan, and a further group around Mussolini in Italy. And these three powers, the Axis powers, in the war with the Allies from 1939 to 45, embodied the energy we call the Antichrist. Not just their evil, but the evil of all humanity from the very beginning. By the defeat of the Axis powers, by the Allies, behind whom stood Maitreya and the forces of light, the spiritual hierarchy of our planet, the masters of wisdom and Maitreya at the head, the forces of evil on this planet are defeated. Not destroyed, but defeated for the time being. So the beast has been released, now it must be chained down for a time and half a time. That refers to the time, the age which is now opening, the age of Aquarius as we call it.
Yes.
Which will be the next 2,350 to 500 years. Plus half the succeeding age, the age of Capricorn, when the beast will be released once again. There will be another great war at that time, which will be fought out on the mental planes. And one day it will end in a complete destruction of the forces of evil on this planet. It has been released on the astral planes for thousands of years. Over the last 100,000 years, that war has been going on the astral planes, precipitated by Hitler and company onto the physical plane in really from 1914 to 1918 and then again from 1939 to 1945. Because from the Marxist point of view, that is really one war which went underground in 18 and came up above ground again in 1939.
You said that you
So the Antichrist is gone. It's gone, it's done its destructive work. That is the little Armageddon. The true great Armageddon will not take place until the middle of the age of Capricorn, okay, in about 3,500 years from now.
All right, you said that you were shown the past, and you were also shown the future.
Yes.
Well, I'm particularly interested in the future. What can you tell us about what you saw? What lies ahead for us?
What lies ahead for humanity, if it makes the right decisions, and my traitor is convinced that we shall make the right decisions due to his work, that is why he's here, to inspire humanity to make the right decisions, to create what will be a completely new type of world. He brings heavenly energies and we change the world, so we have a new heaven and a new earth, as it says in the Bible. And Maitreya puts it this way. When you see and hear me, you will realize that you have known for long the truths which I utter. Sharing and justice, brotherhood and freedom are not new concepts. From the dawn of time, mankind has linked his aspiration to these beckoning stars. Now, my friends, shall we anchor them in the world? These are the words of Maitreya through me.
Okay.
And that's what we shall do. We shall create, through sharing of the world's resources, for the first time on the world scale, justice in the world. A new brotherhood, a realization of the brotherhood and sisterhood of all peoples.
Well, right,
we are
right,
one family.
Yes, right now the resources in the world are severely limited and appear to be finite and are being used up rather quickly. So how are we going to do this sharing?
Well, they are, in fact, used up by the developed one-third of the world.
That's correct.
The third of the world, of which we are a part, usurp and waste three-quarters of the world's food and 83% of all other resources.
Well, for example...
Because we have a wasteful society.
Yeah, let's take,
about in your book.
Let's take oil, for example, Benjamin. If we continue to use oil that we pull from the ground at current rates, in 40 to 45 years or less, all of the oil is going to be gone.
Yes.
Now, if one-third of the world or less is using all of this oil and the other two-thirds of the world is quickly trying to become what we are, again, I ask, how do we share these resources?
Well, we don't bother about the oil because we shall have a new technology.
We shall?
Maitreya calls it the technology of light, which will give us unlimited power for all our activities, for all industry, for heating and lighting and transport and every other aspect. We shall have unlimited energy directly from the sun itself. This is the new technology of light, which, when we share the resources of the world and guarantee justice for all people everywhere, and therefore the possibility of peace for the first time, because without justice there will never be peace, and without sharing there will never be justice. So if we accept Maitreya's premise that we are one and that the resources of the world are given by divine providence for all of us, and share more equitably the resources of the world, create justice and create for the first time peace in the world, then that technology will become ours.
Well, but
it's
even
the most powerful technology that we could imagine, cosmic in source,
uh-huh,
but without peace in the world, it would be the most dangerous technology that we could use.
Well, even Christians, Benjamin, tend to take the attitude, because of what they read in the Bible, that the resources are given to us to use. No problem, go ahead and use them. That's what they are there for, that kind of attitude. And that sounds a little
like... very foolish. I mean, we're destroying the planet by misusing the resources.
All right, well, you said that Maitreya said that we will make the right decisions. I don't see any evidence of that just yet.
Well, according to the Masters, we are beginning to do so. According to the Masters, and I think it's clear if you look at the world today compared with even 10 years ago or 15 years ago, and Maitreya came into the world, I mean literally into the modern world, into London in July 1977. And since that time, from behind the scenes, through certain individuals in the heads of government and so on, he has been creating the conditions which we now see. The end of the Cold War, the opening up and the freeing of the states of Russia, the coming together of the two Germanys, capitalist West Germany and communist East Germany. An unthinkable thing has happened. Extraordinary transformation in South Africa, where Nelson Mandela, sure, who for 27 years was incarcerated in prison as the head of a proscribed organization, the ANC, is now the president of a new South Africa.
Sure.
Apartheid is a thing of the past. All of that is really the result of the inspiration of Maitreya. He inspired Mr. Gorbachev to come to America and to talk peace, and to open up through Glasnost the Soviet Union. He came to Nelson Mandela in his prison cell and told him to write to the president for a meeting. And Nelson Mandela smiled and said, "Look, I cannot even get a meeting with the governor of the prison." And Maitreya said, "Never mind, I know that. But you write the letter and you will see. I will do the rest."
Okay. Maitreya is a now physical, mortal form being who lives in London. Was Maitreya born as an infant?
No.
No.
He is in a self-created body. Many of the masters appear in the self-created body, which is called the Mayavi Rupa, which literally means the body of illusions.
So in other words, Maitreya then appeared as in adult form, is that?
In adult form, yes.
Okay, in 1977.
And he has the ability to change that form at will.
Oh.
So he can be old or young, fair, dark, a man, a woman, a child, whatever he wishes to be.
Have you, in the physical, met with Maitreya in London?
I have, but not in his real form. I have met him as a woman, a refugee woman in the train in London with a child, and she, so-called she, asked me for some money. I gave her some money. The child looked miserable, and she went up and down the train, you know, begging. But
yes,
in the carriage where I met her, there was no one else in the carriage, so she wasn't making much money. And the child actually was the Master Jesus. And this sort of happening occurs all the time. The Masters work together. Maitreya and the Master Jesus seem to be incredibly close, and they work together all the time. Sometimes one is the man, the other time the other one's a man, and so on. They change positions and change appearance and so on.
Do you realize?
The other time I met him was in California.
California.
In Berkeley.
Berkeley?
Yeah, Berkeley, California, where he appeared as a, I suppose you would say, a modern-day, slightly hippie, quite casually dressed, but nicely dressed man with a little bomber jacket on and a hat. And he asked me for a couple of dollars for gas for his truck. I couldn't see any truck, so I gave him a couple of dollars. And that was Maitreya.
How do you know?
He didn't look like Maitreya, but I see Maitreya as he looked.
How do you know?
Well, I'm in touch with one of the masters. I have a moment-to-moment contact with one of Maitreya's closest disciples. And through this moment-to-moment contact, I can verify any experience I have. And if Maitreya wishes to appear as a beggar man, as he often does, and hundreds of people have such experiences, I could ask the master, "Was that Maitreya?" And some people say, "No, it wasn't." Or, "Yes, mm-hmm, it was. And that was the Master Jesus." I have seen the Master Jesus years ago, who came to my house in London and asked if I could give him something to eat.
Do you have any idea how many toes you're stepping on with this?
Oh, I know that. That's why I'm dangerous, you know.
I'm beginning to agree with the facts here. You are kind of dangerous.
Well, dangerous in the sense that this upsets the conventional view of life and the future.
This upsets nearly everybody.
But it must. times, as you know, are changing. And the changing times bring new personalities in different ways into the world. Our old conceptions of the Bible story and the Gospels and so on have to change. The people who will find it probably hardest of all to accept Maitreya are the leaders of the Christian and Jewish organization.
Absolutely. All right, let me try and ask you a really hard question.
But then
they
had the same problem 2,000 years ago with Jesus.
Yep, I know.
Jesus was there among them and they didn't recognize
him. Let me ask you a tough question. You said that it was proven to you in so many ways that Maitreya was real. You saw miracles. Miracles were performed for you.
By my master, yes.
Yes. Now,
my master is not Maitreya.
Now,
my master is a disciple of Maitreya.
That. I understand that. But from the point of view of those who are listening to you right now, they would ask, if this is all true, then why not request and receive for the world undeniable proof in the form of some sort of miracle that would cause people to believe as concretely as you do?
The world today is filled with miracles. Let me just mention a few of them. Maitreya says, those who search for signs will find them, but my method of manifestation is more simple. But the world is filled with signs of his presence. Take, for instance, in the Christian world, the appearances of the Madonna all over the world, the moving Madonna, the statues which literally move, which open their eyes, clasp their hands and unclasp them and so on, made of, you know, plaster or stone and wood and so on. The icons of Jesus which cry, the Madonnas which cry, real tears, sometimes blood. This is happening by the hundreds of thousands all over the world. Now, in the Eastern world, among the Hindus, we had the extraordinary milk miracle in September 1996, when for 4 days the statues of Ganesha and Shiva and so on, when offered milk, lapped up the milk. The milk literally disappeared by the millions of gallons. The milk ran dry in India. The shop shut. Parliament stopped. The streets were filled with long queues, going, many of them, to the temples for the first time in their lives to watch this miraculous happening. We saw it in London, in the temples in London, where the cameras were taken in, the television cameras, and even the operators, the camera operators, or the interviewer would hold out the milk in a cup or a spoon to the statue, which is made of wood, which is made of copper, bronze, silver, brass, and the milk literally disappeared every single time. That, I think, is the most widespread and the greatest type of miracle which has ever happened in the world. It was all over, north, south, east and west, wherever that puja was performed. The milk was not, of course, drunk by the statues made of brass and teak and so on.
Right.
It was made to disappear by Maitreya and a group of masters who do that kind of thing.
Was it in any way announced beforehand?
No.
No.
It suddenly happened. There is a window in Clearwater in Florida. There is a building.
I've seen it. I've got a huge
icon on the outside.
I've got the photograph.
The Madonna, 35 foot high.
I know.
In brilliant color. And when it was damaged by vandals, the color reasserted.
Oh, no, that's absolutely true. Benjamin, hold on. We're at the top of the hour. The building he refers to, yes, it was vandalized. And then, miraculously, the image overnight was suddenly cleared up. That is an absolutely true story. Benjamin Krim is my guest, and we're going to open phone lines when we come back. And I imagine they will be blistering. From the high desert, this is Coast to Coast AM.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from July 10th, 1998. You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from July 10th, 1998.
Good morning. We only have a short time with Benjamin Krim. He's got an obligation later on today, actually, and he's in New York. So what we're going to do is take calls quickly, and we'll have him back at another time when he is not so incredibly pressed. Benjamin Krim says Maitreya is now alive, and Maitreya is in London, and many things are about to occur. Benjamin Krim has had this proven to his satisfaction through a series of miracles and communications, first from what I think we can call, safely, an ascended master, and then a communication from Maitreya himself. I was being a little flippant earlier, but I still know that many of you would believe that Maitreya is instead Betreya, which is the Antichrist, but Benjamin Krim says firmly, no, that is not the case. In a moment, we'll take calls and see what you think. And the faxes I'm getting range from the incredulous to the angry to the believing, those of you who believe. And so we'll get to phone calls in a moment. Benjamin Krim is indeed known worldwide, and for years now I have received many requests from listeners to have him on. Unfortunately, he is in the country. Unfortunately, he's in New York, where later today I think he's going to be giving some kind of a talk, and so his time is very limited with us this evening. Benjamin, where are you going to be later today?
It's a talk at the... in New York, at the Hotel Pennsylvania, the Skytop Ballroom, which is on 7th Avenue, opposite the Madison Square Garden. 7th Avenue and 33rd Street, New York City.
And it will be...
a lecture on the emergence of Maitreya, the world teacher.
And so if people want to know more, they can find out more later today.
Yeah, there's a call-free number. They can get all the information they want about my information.
All right, what is
there's
that?
The number, 888, call toll-free number, 888-242-8272.
8272. All right, let me repeat that. It's 1-888-242-8272. Is that correct?
That's right.
All right, here come some people. Let's see what we get. Wild Card Line, you're on the air with Benjamin Krim. Hello.
Hello, yes. First, I want to thank you for having Mr. Krim on.
And, sure.
Secondly, I wanted to pose this question to the listeners as well as Mr. Krim.
Where are you?
I'm calling from McLean, Virginia.
Okay.
My name is Shada Karangi. And, well, I follow the story for a while now, and I find it very hopeful and inspiring. And all the Maitreya's teachings are based on practical spirituality, which is really rare. And his priorities are actually to ensure basic rights of living for everybody. So I just want to know, why don't we allow Maitreya to come forward and prove his identity and settle it once and for all?
Oh, I like that question. I really like that question. And again, Benjamin, these miracles were shown to you so that you have no doubt. You now are forced to come to us and tell us of all this without without us having the benefit of the proof that you have received. So her question is really a good one. Why not let him come forward to the world and prove to us who he is?
That's precisely what is going to happen in the very near future. For he has been ready to come forward since the end of May 1982. But he has needed an invitation from humanity to do so that he doesn't infringe our free will by just simply stepping into the limelight. And my task has been to prepare the way, to create the climate of hope, of expectancy for his coming, so that he can enter our lives without infringing our free will. But to speak to the world to any degree, he needs the modern communications, the media of the world, and the media of the world has been very reluctant to invite him forward.
Well, I would do that.
Yes, well, I'm sure you would because you're an enlightened man, but the media as a whole over the years.
Ah, to hell, hell with them.
Very reluctant.
Yeah, to hell with them. Look, do you really want good forum for him? I will give it.
Well, very soon. He has been invited by one of the major networks in this country, one of the big four, and he will appear. They have an arrangement that when he gives the time, he can appear, I think, within a few days. And he has simply been waiting for an event which he predicted in 1988 with a whole series of predictions, one by one of which have come true. And this one is of a world stock market crash, which he said would begin in Japan. In 1988, the Nikkei average of Japan stood at 40,000. Within a couple of years, it had come right down to 14,000 points.
That's right.
And for the last couple of years, as you know, it's hovered around 14,000 to maybe 17,000 points.
Yes.
With the constant infusion of billions of yen into the economy by the Japanese government. And nothing happens. Then, last October, November, we had the collapse of the so-called tiger economies, South Korea, Malaysia.
The Asia crisis, yes.
The Asia crisis. Then the stock markets of the West, the Dow's Index, the FTSE in London, and the others in Europe, began to wobble, and they lost hundreds of points. But in a few days, they recovered.
That's right.
Now, he's waiting until that same collapse in the East takes place in the West. And when it's obvious that it's going to do so, he will take the invitation to speak on this major network of this country and then in Japan to come forward to help to mitigate the effects of this crisis.
Well, I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed. I mean, I'm glad that you've got a major network, but maybe we could do both. I mean, maybe you could appear on the major network and on my program as well. How
I
about
will
that?
Do my best, Al, to bring it about.
All right. It would be a definite...
Not that I have any power, but if I could twist the arm of my master and he twists my prayers, maybe it will happen.
Well, you wouldn't think twisting Maitreya's arm exactly would be the phrase.
I'm only joking.
Oh, I see. All right. Okay. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Benjamin Krim. Hello. Where are you, please?
Yes, I'm Arnold, and I'm from St. Paul. And I wanted to ask Mr. Krim, does it bother him, or two questions, actually, does it bother him that he's stating about my master, Jesus, is with this other master he's talking about, and this, and it is ironic to me that this Maitreya, as he calls him, he's standing on the same platform as what they state the Antichrist. This ain't vile. This is what it states. I mean, that he would come in doing peaceful things and then turn around after in the middle of a 7-year tribulation, 3.5 years, to do the dirt that he's going to do. And I wanted to ask him specifically, how does he feel about the delusion that the devil will send through this man, not up front, but come in as a choir boy.
But I get what you're saying. Yes.
Yeah, okay, there you are. I told you there'd
believe,
be a lot of that.
You believe in that interpretation of your scriptures. I don't. I believe that the scriptures are real, they are prophetic and truth, but it is a question of how you interpret them. They are not meant to be taken literally. They are symbolic. And symbolically and esoterically interpreted, they show a very different picture to what your expectations no doubt are. But let's not try to be clever about this. The tree is known by its fruit.
Yes.
When you see Maitreya, when you experience his love, his wisdom, the insight, the mind which is crystal clear and can cut through to the heart of every problem and illuminate the problems for us, when you see his total, absolute compassion, I believe that you will have no difficulty in seeing him as he is, the Lord of Love. Return this time himself with Jesus and a whole group of other masters, some of whom were the disciples around Jesus in Palestine, who are now masters in their own right. And this will change your view not only of Maitreya, but of the Bible interpretation, which you take literally and accept as the pronounced truth.
All right.
I leave it to your own intuition and experience when you actually see Maitreya.
All right.
Until then, all I ask is you keep an open mind.
All right. West of the Rockies, you are on the air with Benjamin Krim. Hi.
Hi. This is Stephen from Los Angeles. I did an interview with Bob Larson a few years ago as an abductee, and I have been having a lot of psychic abilities since my abduction, since I was a kid, and I've been the black sheep of the family because of my abilities. And Bob Larson asked me, quite frankly, says, who is the Antichrist? And I gave him the answer of, it's more of a consciousness more than it is individual. Now, he said the same thing, your guest, Benjamin. And I'm very curious as to what is going on with abductees or people who experience things from the another realm.
You mean the so-called abductees by UFOs?
I don't like to call myself an abductee. I like to call myself experience something along those lines because it's never been a traumatic...
Yeah, but a rose by any other name was probably still taken up and probed, so...
Yeah, pretty much. I just, it's, for me, it's never been a problem. It's been more of a blessing.
Well, since I've been asked, my opinion of abductees is that there are no abductees. That the abductee phenomena is in the astral imagination of the people involved. I know about the Space Brothers, I know about the UFOs, and my knowledge of them and their relation to our own spiritual hierarchy is that they are totally beneficent, that they have no plans of any malicious nature for humanity, that they don't need to abduct humanity. They don't need to experiment on us. They are so much more evolved than we are. Their craft are created by thought alone, and they themselves guide them by thought alone. And so, you know, the fact of that they would take up human beings and make little experiments on them to find out this, that, about, they have known us for thousands of years. They are so far ahead of us in their technology, in their consciousness, that the very idea of abducting us is, to me, just silly.
Okay.
Simply silly.
All right.
But people
have
the experience, because if they see UFOs, which are seen by hundreds of thousands of people all over the world, but it sets up a kind of hysterical trigger reaction in them, excites their astral imagination, and they imagine they're being abducted. It's like a living dream, a waking dream.
So then these professors at these large colleges, universities, American universities, that have said they're going to study UFOs because there appears to be significant evidence worthy of study, are out to lunch and will find nothing.
Well, they are so real. They are so real. How can one explain it? Hundreds of thousands of people yearly see and have seen since...
I know. There's no question about it. But what I'm saying is, you're saying they are manifestations of thought. And so, if that's true, scientists are not going to find anything.
Oh, no, I don't... No, let me be clear about this. The UFOs, the unidentified flying objects, are spacecraft. They are real, but they are made of etheric matter. Now, if you have etheric vision, you can see them. And when they are seen... They simply lower the vibrational rate of the etheric matter until they come within our range of vision. It's a temporary manifestation.
I see.
And when they raise it again, they appear to disappear. They're still there, but they have disappeared from our range of vision. The Roswell incident is a specific case in part where there was a crashed UFO, deliberately crashed by a group of Martian men and women, who, five of them, one of whom survived for a time the craft, the others were killed, on whom autopsies were made, and then the bodies themselves disintegrated, as did the craft itself, because they are made of etheric matter. And so were in a dense physical state for only a limited state of length of time.
So then they are real, if I understand what you're saying, but... In the sense of what, not in the physical sense that we understand.
Yeah, in the physical sense, but in a subtle physical, etheric physical. See, we recognize only three types of physical. Solid physical, liquid physical, and gaseous physical.
Well, the three
and
dimensions.
Above gas, there are four further states of physical, which are the etheric planes of matter, each one finer as it goes up. And it is of these four finer gaseous states that the space vehicles are made.
I've got
that
you.
The people For example, all the planets of our system are inhabited. But if you went to Mars or Venus or Mercury or Jupiter, you would find nobody, but they are there. If you have aetheric vision, you will see them. If you don't, all you will see is a planet which seems to be bereft of human beings. But it is not so. Humanity are everywhere in cosmos.
All right. Well, I can buy into that. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Benjamin Krim. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Where are you, sir?
Calling you from Tennessee.
All right, Tennessee. You're going to have to yell at us. I can barely hear you.
All right. Is this better?
A little.
Mr. Krim, these masters of wisdom, some of them are walking the earth now?
Yes, indeed. There are 40 masters in some of the major cities of the world, and plus Maitreya. There's a master here in New York since 1975. One in London since 1975, apart from Maitreya. One in Geneva, one in Darjeeling, and one in Tokyo. One in Rome. The one in Rome is the Master Jesus, who has been living there for more than 7 years now and is in charge of all the Christian churches. And one in Moscow. There's one near Los Angeles, one in Cairo, and you know, various places around the world. Eventually, there will be about 40 masters plus Maitreya.
The one in New York, is that Howard Stern?
No, you don't know him. You don't know him at all. He's not a sort of well-known name.
Actually, I wouldn't rule it out, caller. I appreciate your call. Thank you very much. And I wouldn't rule out anything with regard to Howard. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Benjamin Krim.
Hi, Art. This is Randy at KQMS from Reading.
Yes, sir.
I'm curious, if these beings have so much power, then why would they need a national forum in order to be exposed? I mean, couldn't they make themselves known to us in some other form?
You mean without the use of electronic media?
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't need the electronic thing. If he wanted to, he could... His face could appear on the television sets throughout the world simultaneously in the middle of your favorite program.
Well, then why not do it then?
He would never do it because it would be a colossal infringement of our free will.
Oh, look, the very worst that would happen is somebody miss a soap opera. Who cares?
I have been working for 24 years publicly now simply to create the climate in which he can do it without infringing our free will. When we ask him to come forward and make himself known on a world scale, the television networks of the world will be linked together through satellite, which are in place for this event, so that for the first time in history, the world teacher can come forward and speak directly to all people without the need for intermediaries, priests, organizations, and so on. And on that day, you will see him on the day... what we call the Day of Declaration, in which he will declare himself openly as the teacher for this coming age.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of people are going to regard that as the day of the arrival of the Antichrist.
Well, they may do, but they will find very different in a very short time. They will come round because they will recognize his goodness, they will recognize his love, they will experience it on the Day of Declaration as they have never done before. His love will pour through the hearts of all humanity. It will be a repetition on a world scale of what actually happened at the Pentecost 2,000 years ago on a much...
All right, Benjamin, I know that you have a date today. You're going to speak in New York, as you indicated earlier. And I want to tell everybody again, more information can be garnered by calling 1-888-242-8272. Is that a 24-hour number?
Yes, I think so.
All right. We'll have you back at another time, more convenient to your day, and we'll get further into this. I really want to thank you for joining the program this morning.
It's been my pleasure.
Good luck with your talk later, and don't forget, I want him on my show.
Oh, I'll try and arrange the talk.
Benjamin
be
Krim.
A priority.
Thank you. Take care. That's Benjamin Krim, folks. We'll have him back. This is Coast to Coast AM.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from July 10, 1998. Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired July 10th, 1998.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Art Bell. And in a moment, we're going to go to open lines for the remainder of the evening. We will have Benjamin Krim back at some point, and hopefully, if he can arrange it, we'll have Maitreya. Now, that would really be something, wouldn't it? Anyway, a couple of items to cover with you in a second, then we'll launch into Friday night, Saturday morning, open line. All right, the UN is telling us that if we don't pony up the money we owe, we're going to lose our vote. Ted Turner is saying, apologizing for the story that CNN ran, and he said that if mass suicide would help, he'd commit it. And I'm a little puzzled about how Ted Turner could commit mass suicide, unless Ted is more than like one person. So I'm puzzled about that. Surely he wouldn't expect CNN employees generally to follow him, would he? I understand he's sorry about the story, but to offer mass suicide, well, that's too generous. In Afghanistan, apparently a religious movement there has given all the people of Afghanistan 15 days to get rid of all their TV sets or to see them smashed by religious police. That's right. Also, video cassette recorders, videotaped and satellite programs as well, satellite dishes, all of them are going to be gone or they are going to be smashed by religious cops in Afghanistan. Now, the world of earthquakes is upon us. As you know, we had a very serious earthquake felt in Anchorage, Kodiak, Fairbanks, Palmer, Cordova, shaking an area about 225 miles by 500 miles. That's a big earthquake. It was 6.4. There also are earthquakes just now recently. Let's see, Yucca Valley, about 20 miles north of Yucca Valley. Ocotillo Wells, California. That'd be a good shaker, about 4.1. Taft, California. All over the place. I've got a list here of the recent earthquakes, and oh my goodness, aren't we active. Hemet, Ridgecrest. I could go on and on. A lot of earthquakes. A lot of volcanic action. A lot going on. Now, here's a story that I want to get out. It seems that hundreds of people have put down $50 a piece for the apparent thrill of running in front of 24 bulls Saturday in an event patterned after the annual celebration in Pamplona, Spain. Organizers have taken steps to prevent the running of the bulls at the Oasis Ranch from becoming the mad, drunken, and sometimes deadly rampage that clogs the streets of Pamplona. The dirt road course is not so treacherous. Participants are expected to be sober. Why? And everyone is taking special care to be nice to the bulls. Well, hell yes. Why would anybody pay to run in front of a bull? About 400 people have signed up, idiots, to be chased by the bulls down a quarter-mile S-shaped road in the town, the Arizona state line in southeastern Nevada. Here in Nevada. Why would anybody want to run out in front of a perfectly good bull? I have never understood this in Spain, and I sure as hell don't understand it here in Nevada. Crazy. But I'll watch. It should be humorous to watch. And furthermore, if you were going to do it, why would you want to do it sober? How could you do it sober? And then just one more item. Let me reread this, okay? Brace yourself. Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Every month for the past year, the story goes, a private yacht has quietly sailed out to sea for international waters. Aboard are 25 people determined to dive peacefully into Davy Jones' locker beneath the waves. Euthanasia cruises are a new way for the terminally ill to end their suffering and relieve loved ones unable to cope with shattered lives. Privately financed, this rather bizarre venture is managed by a team of pro-Kevorkian advocates who maintain a very low profile. No advertising so far, but word of mouth has generated, get this folks, a list of 600 in the U.S. and Canada waiting to go. Weekly cruises, weekly, are being planned for the summer of 98. Although it says in the article, unattributed, this reporter was not permitted to go aboard the chartered boat. Somebody named Dr. Rogers, probably not his real name, is the motivating force behind this modern crusade that allows people to die on demand. With regard to the legality of euthanasia cruises, the so-called Dr. Rogers says, I don't know if this is a real story. Maybe it is. We provide a sensible service at a low cost. There are dozens of calls daily, and we're delighted to offer innovative and humanitarian plans that circumvent the archaic laws of our land. That sure sounds like Kevorkian. Thus far, euthanasia cruises have not been challenged in the courts because they function as a covert operation. And the one-way passengers are all willing to make the trip. As I said earlier, this, of course, invites all kinds of possible comic content, which I may try to avoid. You can almost close your eyes and you can imagine the advertisement for this cruise. You can imagine the name for the cruise lines that would be doing this. It would be an international waters. I wonder, wouldn't the laws of the registry country apply? I would think so. I don't know. Crazy. Euthanasia cruises. You get on, but you don't get off. At least not at the... Well, maybe you do. Maybe, you know, you walk on and you get carried off. West of the Rockies, you are on the air. Good morning. Where are you, please?
Morning, Art. Vance here in San Jose, KSJO country.
Yes, sir.
I listened with very great interest to Benjamin Krim last hour and a half or whatever it was.
And what did you discern? I mean, you should see the response I got. People either loved him or hated him and nothing in between.
Yeah, well, it's a highly charged subject. And
yep.
My personal opinion, I first ran into him when he came out with a book around 1982 or so. And I think it was Benjamin Krim and the Masters of Wisdom or something like that. I don't remember
right.
the exact title.
Right.
And I read through it, and there's two things that, and I didn't hear part of what he had in the book on the air tonight, and that's why I wanted to call.
Okay.
I liked a lot of the spiritual messages and love and everything else, but what I did see also in the book was that it was basically a call to world socialism. Because
I caught a little part of that, too. In other words, all of the resources would be shared and
yes.
that sort of thing. Yeah, I heard that.
So that alarms me a little bit because, in a way, our Christian society has brought a respect to the individual and for our own efforts and, you know, gaining, and if people don't make an effort, they don't gain, as much at least.
Well, you know, let's ask ourselves, what kind of political persuasion do you think Jesus Christ would be if he were here now?
Well, I think he'd be a libertarian. I really do.
Yeah, that's a good, safe answer. Yeah, you might be.
You know why I say that? Because Jesus basically said this world is a hopeless case, and their only hope is to think of the next one, and that's caused a lot of interesting phenomenon over the.
But he did say something about trying to fit big old fat rich guys through the eye of a needle. No, that was a camel, or I don't know, something like that.
Well, he sort of shunned. He believed that we should all just trust in God. You know, there's so many. Parts of the gospel that said, well, you know, if God takes care of a sparrow and, you know, you're more valuable than a sparrow kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing he said. And by the way, as far as the Bible is concerned, I'm not a Bible thumping guy. I'm sort of a spiritual guy, but I'm not a toe the line religious guy. And one of the things Jesus said in the Bible, though, that Benjamin Krim addressed was the part about the Antichrist. And there's a specific thing that I was reading tonight about what Jesus said about the Antichrist. And what he said was, if anybody says that this guy is the Christ or that is the guy is the Christ, don't believe him. If he says he's in the desert or he's in the closed room, don't believe him.
No.
He said Christ would come as the lightning in the sky, so to speak. He'd come in the clouds. It almost sounds like an abduction art. But, you know, that's where the rapture comes from, where you come, like, the one would be left and one would be taken.
Yeah, you're right. It sounds like an abduction. You're correct.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's maybe these light ships that you guys were talking about also, maybe that's got something to do. Maybe Christ is coming in sort of in a multifaceted way that we can't even understand. And therefore, any one being or any one human being that claims to be Christ is not the Christ, because Christ is coming in different mode this time.
There's only one thing that I'm relatively sure of. It's probably not Howard, huh?
You never know.
Yeah, well, that's right. Don't call her. All right, thanks. We'll see you later. Maybe it's time for the euthanasia cruise. Book 'em, Dano. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, sir. I am the Antichrist.
Oh, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Art.
How can we know, of course, that you are the real McCoy?
Time will separate the truth tellers from the liars.
True?
Yes.
True? But I mean,
a very short time.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Let's talk timelines here, Mr. Antichrist. When will the world be aware of your reality, aside from my program?
They will be aware of me and who I am, without a doubt, before 99 comes to a close.
Really?
Yes.
That is very soon indeed. And what will be the manner of this awareness? Are you going to, like, suddenly interrupt television programs, or what?
If I fail to seize and rule this world,
yes,
every person and every form of life on this earth will go to extinction.
Really?
Yes.
Now, I was told that you would be saying stuff like that, but that we shouldn't listen.
You were told that, and you have been drummed, that has been drummed into the people by the very religious leaders that claim to lead the people to life and peace and happiness.
But
by
God,
and by Jesus.
And it's all a lie, really. You're saying that you are the real true leader that's coming to lead us.
Yes, sir, I am. I'm the one that's written of in all the religions and all the scriptures.
How long have you known who you are?
All the societies, since 1988.
And what happened then?
I was touched by the creator of creators.
Really? Well, I'm almost at a loss for words, and that's unusual for me.
I'm the same man that called you the night that the Hopis were off.
No, I remember.
Yeah, okay.
I remember. And I think I told you should call back when we're in open lines, and we are now.
Right. I would like to ask each of the Christians that are listening to your program,
yes,
to take the time. I have to quote two scriptures, if I may.
No, you may not. See, I don't allow that. Not even for the Antichrist.
Okay.
Can paraphrase them if you wish.
I would paraphrase Revelation chapter 22,
which says roughly,
Jesus is the bright morning star. Paraphrased.
Now, it doesn't make sense to me that the Antichrist would say that. Antichrist. See, you're Antichrist. So why would you say good things about Christ?
Well, the bright morning star is Lucifer, Satan's only son.
I've got you. So then Jesus is Satan, and you are the Messiah.
That's the fact.
Got it now. Well, all right. I appreciate your call, and we're going to have to sort of work on this long term. Before 99, huh? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi there. I'm not the Antichrist.
No, he was. Turn your radio off nevertheless, please.
Okay, it's off. This Krem fellow, I think it's odd. I don't think any of Jesus' disciples had 188 numbers, or that he had to pay to go to hear him lecture. I mean, if his master is for real, how come he doesn't provide for him like a way of life?
Well, yes, but it might be said that even the disciples of Jesus had to eat and probably live somewhere and pay rent and all that sort
of
thing.
What about the fish and the loaves? They didn't have to go on electric circuit. They went from town to town on their own free
will. Well, no, but that was then. This is now. We're in the modern world.
Well, just a thought.
Well, no, it's not a bad thought, and I don't rule it out. And if he really is ready to come forward, I sure want to get him on my make a hell of a heck of a program, right?
Yes. I hope you do.
All right, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much. You know, something I want to do before my euthanasia cruise sets sail. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art. I can't believe it. I'm on. I knew persistence pays, right?
Well, it does.
I've often thought you should have a guy on. Maybe you've heard of him before. His name is Richard Kenninger. He wrote a couple different books.
That's one person I have not heard of. What does he write about?
Oh, you got to have him on.
You got to have what?
If I may say
well,
so.
Well, I, but okay, tempt book, me. Give me a
okay,
reason.
Okay. One book he wrote was called The Ultimate Frontier. That was his first book back in 63. And concerning Maitreya and that subject, he wrote
yes.
a little bit about that in this book he wrote in 86, I think it was, called Spiritual Seeker's Guidebook.
Yes.
So
it's the same,
quite fascinating.
Same sort of thing.
Pardon?
Same sort of thing as Benjamin Krem.
Well, he comments on Maitreya, I don't think he would, I know he wouldn't say that Maitreya is a good person or a good entity.
Would he view Maitreya as the Antichrist?
I just reread a couple pages in his book that he talked about that, and he said that, I think Krem said that he studied the teachings of Alice Bailey.
Yes.
Did he also say something about the Theosophical movement?
Yes.
Well, now that's interesting, because he said, Krem also, that the Antichrist was in Nazi Germany. Now, I understand that, at least according to Kenninger's book, Spiritual Seeker's Guidebook, that this woman, Helena Blavatsky, she influenced people who were tied in with the Nazis and Hitler, and that I guess she headed the Theosophical movement, and then Alice Bailey kind of took over when she died in 1891.
All right. Well, that's all very interesting. I appreciate the call. You know me, I'll listen to anybody. I mean, you never know. You really never know, do you?
Oh, yes, I do. I read the Bible. I know exactly what the story is, and you're serving the lower powers, Art.
Well, maybe. I just listen. I'm not really serving anybody.
Well, when you put somebody like that on the air, you are.
That's what I get. Should see the faxes. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Art.
Yes.
Just one word of advice, if I could give it to you.
Sure. One word only?
Well, it won't be one word. One statement.
I see.
Just forget all the Roswell crap and give your love to the men in black.
You hung up. Give my love to the men in black? You know, I mean, that's the kind of thing that a guy in black would say. Forget all that Roswell crap and give your love to the men in black. Well, that's something a man in black would say. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art. I'm glad I got through. I don't know if you were aware, in 1982, there was an advertisement that was, it appeared in all the world papers.
Yeah.
Some of them, I guess, were full-page ads in London and...
About Maitreya?
Yeah. I'm calling from Phoenix. It was,
well, I think the one caller had a point. Why would Maitreya, even though we live in an electronic age, need to take out ads in newspapers, or when he finally gets ready to, you know, say, here I am.
Exactly.
Need my show, or ABC, or NBC, or CBS, or whatever network, maybe even CNN. Of course, they're probably a little gun-shy right now, but...
exactly.
Why would he need any of that?
I don't know. You know what was interesting about this ad? Let's see, this appeared... Believe it or not, I saved this, Art. I don't know why, but I did.
appeared Sunday, April 25th, 1982.
You're going to have to hold on during the break if you,
sure
you want
will.
To continue. All right, well then, hold on. Back in 82, huh? I just don't understand why somebody of that stature would have to take out ads, but who am I? I'm Art Bell, actually.
Presentation of Coast to Coast AM from July 10, 1998.
Well, something very disturbing has occurred. As you know, I'm a smoker, and it looks like I have smokers know every now and then you lose the fire at the end of your cigarette. It came off intact and landed somewhere, and I can't find it. I originally thought it might have landed in my lap, which is a particularly upsetting thing for a smoker. And generally, you don't determine that that it has dropped into your lap until it announces its unwelcome presence. But that hasn't occurred, and I can't find it. I don't know where it's gone. So, up in the smoke. Well, okay, Keith has done it again, and you would have to go looking for it otherwise, but if you will go to my website right now, under the latest website additions, there is something that says, Who is Maitreya? And if you click on that, you will go directly, I repeat directly, to a picture of Maitreya. I wonder how this photograph was captured. Anyway, if you're curious, there it is. Just go up to my website, www.artbell.com, and there will be that first item says, Who is Maitreya? Click on that and take a look and see who you think that looks like. Doggone if we didn't get a photograph. He should have told us. Benjamin should have told us about that. Anyway, I would take it that would be Maitreya in one form or the real form, or what? Because he apparently morphs at other times. All right, back now to my caller. You're back on the air again.
Oh, hi, Art. I hope you didn't start a little fire there. That would be kind of scary.
I know.
Considering your guest.
You know, it's really upsetting when these things disappear from the end of your cigarette and you don't know where they have gone. But I don't see any unusual smoke yet. Anyway.
Anyhow, on this ad here, like I said, I saved it all these years. I don't know why, but I felt maybe there'd be, you know, that it would have some significance later.
Uh-huh.
There's a few things interesting about it. One of them was that it announced, like I said, this was in April 25th, 1982. In the ad, it says that Lord Maitreya would be revealing himself universally to everyone in the world telepathically over everyone's television set.
Now see, now you're cooking. Oh, within
Oh yeah, yeah, and obviously that didn't happen.
So now Maitreya is going to have to rely on the electronic media.
Right. It's
well, right away that causes some people to be suspicious.
I would be very suspicious. Let me read that part here.
We'll still make a great show, though, won't I?
Oh, yeah. It says, when will we see him? It says, He has not yet declared his true status, and his location is known only to a very few disciples.
You don't think he'd appear on Howard's show first?
I think that'd be great. It says one of these has announced that soon Christ, he calls himself Christ in here. The ad starts out, the Christ is now here.
That, see, that immediately, that gets on a lot of people's cases.
That does, yeah. Says he soon will acknowledge his identity, and within the next 2 months, and this is in 1982, will speak to humanity through a worldwide television and radio broadcast.
Well, then there was another being that was going to appear on UHF television down in Texas, and that one didn't pan out either.
No, I would give this, you know, the same much.
Short shrift, huh?
Oh, they've got some other... It's full of symbolism. It says...
Well, I'll tell you this. The people who are devoted to Benjamin Cream... Krem, excuse me, really are very, very devoted. I mean, they're very serious about this.
I would be highly skeptical.
Well, I am. I appreciate the call, sir. Thank you. On my international line, you are on the air. Hello.
Oh, I thought I was on the ground.
Well, you probably are on the ground somewhere. Where are you?
Hi, this is Nathaniel from Nanaimo.
Nanaimo.
Remember me? Thank you for your email. That was very kind.
You're welcome.
You know me.
don't tell people that, because it'll encourage them to think they're going to get an answer from me.
Oh, I know. Okay,
I can't answer all my email.
It was very nice of you, though. And I was wondering, Arthur, this is not kind of weird. It's actually a comment, and I have two questions.
There is no weird on this program.
Okay. I was trying to test the strength of my scissors the other day, right? And so I was cutting pennies in half. No disrespect to the queen or anything, but...
Wait a minute. Why are you cutting pennies in half?
To see how strong my scissors were. I was just seeing if I could do it, because I saw it on TV.
You have a pair of scissors that can cut a penny in half?
Definitely. I'm serious. And I was cutting an American one in half from the 80s or 90s, and it was silver inside.
You cut an American penny in half?
Oh, it was I said no disrespect. I just was doing it for them.
Get a trace on this number.
Art, you don't do that, remember?
But when you deface American currency, that's a different story.
Art.
You got to stay on here. Think of something to say that'll keep you on 30 seconds more.
No, but I found it interesting. It was silver in the middle.
Right.
And then the one from 1945 was pure through the way through. I found that was kind of neat.
Uh-huh. What makes you think it's silver?
It just was the color silver inside.
Do you understand there are severe laws about defacement of U.S. currency?
I have no idea.
You have no idea? You have no idea how serious this breach is?
No.
Fine. All right, that's 30 seconds. We got
okay.
It. All right. Good luck.
Bye.
We'll send you a file or something. West of the Rockies in a cake. You're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art. This is Bill calling from the state of Washington.
Hi, Bill.
And I have a wonderful, well, it's not wonderful, it's a very strange kind of update on the weather up here. The whole year really wasn't that noticeably different. But tonight, the National Weather Service issued tornado warnings for eastern Washington.
I'd say
probably north of Walla Walla.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding. They told them, get down in the basement.
Washington?
Yes.
Wow.
Amazing.
It is amazing. The state of Washington at this time of year, that doesn't make sense.
Well, especially where it was. It's a real dry, sort of deserty area.
Is it now expired?
I'll have to listen to Como again, but they said earlier tonight, because we were expecting thunderstorms here, and we might still get one here in Seattle, but it was like, get down in the basement.
And I'm telling you, these are strange times.
That is amazing.
Hey, did you hear Benjamin Krim?
No, I didn't.
You didn't. Darn.
Missed out on that one.
Because I wanted to ask, to me he sounded just like Father Malachi Martin.
Really?
Yeah. It was eerie, in fact.
Well, I missed it.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the call. So, tornadoes in eastern Washington, tornado warnings. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And I think that our weather is going to be increasingly unbelievable. We actually have a link now to Benjamin Krem's Maitreya. Actually, I guess not Benjamin Krem's Maitreya, but that who he claims is Maitreya, a photograph. So if you want to see what Maitreya looks like, now's your chance. Why would anybody run in front of a bull? Is I said earlier, perfectly good bull. Why would anybody choose to do that? And the story here about the bull run here in Nevada is that people are going to have to be sober to do it. That seems an unreasonable requirement. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. Hello? That's the radio. Well, I'm glad to hear that you have a reception. But what you heard there, that crackling sound in that person's radio, that's generally, that was a very good example, actually, of AC line interference. You know, you get a little spark over on a pole out there, and that's what it sounds like, that kind of little crackly sound in the background. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hi. Hello? Going once, going
Hello.
Twice. Yes, you just made it by the skin of your teeth.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Tracy calling from Seattle.
Hi, Tracy.
Hi, and I just wanted to say that the gentleman that was talking about Madame Blavatsky
yes.
and the Theosophical Society.
Yes.
Well, that publishing company is the one that John Anthony West publishes his Serpent in the Sky.
Oh, no kidding.
And almost all of that and that Graham Hancock speaks about is right up there. I mean, it's all out of the... Everything that Blavatsky said in her Isis Unveiled book.
Right up there, huh?
Yeah. And he's right about the tornadoes. I'm from up here in Seattle, and that's crazy. We couldn't believe it.
How frequently do you get tornadoes up
there? Never. I looked it up, and there's no history of it.
At least not until now.
They said, hi, you know, go to a shelter. Well, we don't build shelters east of, you know.
That's a very good point. Yeah. Go to a shelter. Well, what do they mean by go to a shelter?
We don't know. That's crazy. So, grab that ISIS Unveiled, and it's not as crazy as it sounds.
All right. I appreciate it. Take care. And as I said, yes, if Maitreya's coming, why, I want to have Maitreya on my program. But he's already been booked by a major network. Of course, I understand. I guess, you know, if one of the big three gives you the opportunity, you've got to go that way. But they'll probably chicken out anyway, so maybe we'll get lucky. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, Art, this is Scott from Denver calling 630 K-Hell.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, I listened to your guest.
Uh-huh.
And
sounded just like Malachi Martin, didn't he?
You know, I hope Gary North is listening.
Didn't he sound like Malachi Martin?
Yeah, he did.
Why do you hope Gary North is listening?
Well, because he said that he's talking about Japan and how the Asian market went down and
yes.
it affected us. Well, he said the next time the Asian market goes down is when this supposed...
Yeah.
is supposed to come up. Well,
yeah.
as Gary North said, April 1st, 1999 is when they hit fiscal year 2000. And, of course, what's going to happen to the financial markets?
I don't know.
Japan's going
to
freak, and then they're going to start selling the U.S. stuff. We're going to have financial chaos, and then this guy's going to come in. And he did sound awfully socialist to me.
Yeah, spread the wealth kind of deal.
So
I agree. All right, thank you very much. It did sound that way, but, you know, in a lot of ways, if you read the Bible, and if you read about Jesus... You would have to conclude Jesus, at a bare minimum, was a socialist. Somebody called earlier and said libertarian, but actually his own particular political philosophy would lean towards socialism, certainly. Right? Sharing what there is, and that the fat rich guys would have as much chance of going to heaven as pulling the humped camel through the eye of a needle, that kind of thing. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hello. Hello, hello. Going once, going twice, going three times, gone. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hi. This is Casey calling from Colorado Springs, KBOR, Hot Talk, 1300.
That's the way to do it. You're going to have to yell. You're not too loud.
Okay.
It's better.
Maybe it's just me, Art, but I think maybe I've just gone too cynical and... in my old age or something, but I've just never heard of a Messiah always hitting his favorite disciple up for bucks every time he sees him. I mean, is that strange? Is it just me? Or, you know, I mean...
Well, it might be just you.
Well, offers the old bag lady, you know, he gives him a couple of bucks. And
yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think it's a little...
Yeah, strange. I mean, it really is true. I have a hard time with that myself, but you never know. I mean, but I'm with you. I'm kind of cynical about things these days, and I don't embrace anything automatically, and it did seem strange to me. Why would Maitreya be asking for money?
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe.
Well, you know, I mean, yeah, you just, you know, think thoughts of the Messiah, you know, you think, you know, he's done all these miracles to prove himself, and
well, but to Benjamin Krim, yes, not, to us, not as of yet.
Right, but, you know, he did all the miracles, and then he...
And I don't mean to put down miracles, but you know something? Benjamin quoted a big thing about, well, I'm sure you heard it, about milk or something.
Right, right.
Now, I know this is impertinent, but I require advance notice.
Yes.
Of a miracle. And then if it happens, boy, you've got my attention.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, I figure, you know, if he can, you know, cause, you know, idols to slurp up milk and what have you, that he should be able to, you know, support himself without, you know, hitting people up for a couple of dollars. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. I don't, you know... My, you know, I kind of put my money on, you know, Christ being on Mars and now contacting Richard Hoagland. I think that's probably just as sane as anything else.
All right. Thank you very much. Richard thus far has not made that claim. And if he's here on Earth, he might be on Mars as well. But well said. Well, I don't see anything burning up in here yet, so... East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art. This is 321 in Peoria, Illinois.
321?
Yeah. It's good enough for you, right?
Kind of an unusual handle. Yeah.
Okay. Three things. Let me get them all in, please.
Three, huh?
Yeah. All right. First of all, Jesus did not have a political philosophy, you know, anything.
Well, I know, but we're imagining if he were here today what it would be by contemporary standards.
I think he'd know the right way, which would be libertarianism, so, you know. That's
okay.
My vote.
All right.
All right. After that, Blavatsky and the Theosophical Society.
Yes.
You need to research that. And then from there, I'd actually go on to Aleister Crowley and Thelema. Okay, the third thing, I forgot.
Well, that's because that's what happens when you snap your fingers.
Yeah.
You forget.
All right, well... I'll catch you next time.
Yeah, take care. I mean, you call up and say, "Art, three things. You gotta let me. I gotta get your ball on." And then he forgets number three. International line, you're on the air.
Hi, Art. This is Eric calling from Amsterdam in the Netherlands.
Oh, Eric, welcome to the program.
I'm calling to announce the unfortunate visit of Barry McCaffrey to Europe, and. He's apparently starting to spread a whole bunch of lies, and the Netherlands ambassador, just the most recent news over the top of the hour, the reports that the Netherlands ambassador is very irked that Barry McCaffrey would have said that the Netherlands drug policy is a total failure, an unmitigated disaster, I believe is the quote.
I really need to speak more to you. So my bosses love it when I do this. I'm coming up on a break. Can you afford to hold on?
I can.
All right, good. Stay right there. From Amsterdam in the Netherlands, where they have a very different kind of drug policy, as a matter of fact. We've got a caller. So we will hold this caller on the line, or try to anyway, through the break, and come back and talk with him about what actually goes on in Amsterdam, where drugs are freely available, and there's much consternation about whether or not it works.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM, from July 10, 1998. You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from July 10th, 1998.
Well, the callers are correct. Here it is. It was a. It's expired now, I guess, unless they renewed it. But I've got a bulletin sent from my affiliate KONA in Washington. It's incredible. Tornado warning. National Weather Service. The National Weather Service in Spokane issued, past tense, a tornado warning. It's not a watch. It's a warning. Was for southern Penn, Oriel County. I'm probably slaughtering the name of that, in northeastern Washington, northern Spokane County in east central Washington, into 1 a.m. Pacific time. That, of course, has now passed. At 11:56 p.m. Pacific time, there was a funnel cloud reported over the Deer Park Airport by law enforcement, moving northeast at 30 miles per hour. It says here the tornado will be near Newport by 12:30 a.m. Pacific, now thankfully passed. And then it says, go to the basement or a small interior room on the lowest floor. Good Lord. You know, out here in the West, as a general rule, not an absolute rule, a general rule, we don't have basements. So if you were to hear this, as one caller pointed out, it would be extremely worrisome. Then here is another faxer. It says, Dear Art, didn't you do a story about radiation levels in Europe being 1,000 times normal, particularly in France? Why would you vacation there then? Weren't you worried? Well, you know what? I didn't even think about it. But I've got a Geiger counter here, and I'm now pointing it at myself. And it doesn't seem to be beeping particularly. Oops. It's beeping. Not unusually beeping, necessarily, but I don't know if I like this. Let's see. That's quiet. Sounds like background radiation, probably, to me. All right, we'll be back in just a moment. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi. Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
Who is this?
Who were you expecting when you dialed?
Was this Art?
Bingo.
Oh, sorry, Art. You just kind of threw me off.
Why would I throw you off? I mean, you dialed my number.
Yeah, I had a delay on the radio.
Then I said something approximating, hi, you're on the air. That has meaning.
I guess that was stupid.
Anyway, what's up?
Hey, Art, did I get you right about was it a 6-ton air conditioner?
5.
5-ton?
Yeah, 5.
Wow, that's incredible.
Ton. Well, you know where I live, right?
Yeah, there in... It
gets real hot here.
Oh, I bet. Holy smokes.
It was like the Nightmare on Elm Street, though. I mean, it's like they put in one part, and then they had to put in another part, and then they had to put in another part to count, you know, to allow for that. So, anyway.
Hey, I'm Jeff from Roseburg, Oregon.
Yes.
From the KTBR.
Yes.
Anyways,
By the way, I should tell the audience, I meant to go back to the fellow in... we lost the connection with Amsterdam, I'm sorry to say.
I have to go back
to that guy, but he's gone.
Hey, you know, I'm out here in Oregon, and I'm used to the green trees and all that, and where you live, you're living out in the desert like that.
That's right.
Do I picture a lot of sand and, you know, tumbleweed, or...
Yeah,
we have
tumbleweeds, yes.
How's your front yard like? Is it just full of sand with tumbleweed in it, or?
Well, not sand exactly. It's more like clay and some sand and dirt and tumbleweeds and cactus and you know, it's like the real desert.
The real desert, huh?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Well, I got not much to say. I enjoy the show and. We'll catch you later.
All right, take care. If the gentleman from Amsterdam would be so kind as to call us back, it's toll-free. That happens a lot of times. I'm not exactly sure why. You go into a period of silence during a break in an international call, and you get a disconnect for whatever reason. It may be they do that automatically on international calls. I don't know. Let's see. Oh, with regard to the cruise, here's somebody writing, this is the euthanasia crews. Good morning, Art. Hey, what's the big deal? I, like many others, will take my mother-in-law along with me. A good time for all out at sea. Dave in Chicago. I don't know, Dave. The whole idea of a euthanasia cruise. Do you think... Now, I've been on a lot of cruises. Do you think that there would be the tooting of the boat's whistle and people would throw confetti and stuff when they leave? Or even more confetti or no confetti? Or maybe they throw something else more appropriate, too. Anyway, West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, Mr. Bell. This
yes.
is Hans in Seattle.
Can you hold on a second? Because my international line's ringing. It might be the guy in Amsterdam.
Sure.
All right, hold on. Let me just check. Hello there. You're on the air. Where are you calling from, please?
This is Eric again from Amsterdam.
Oh, I'm so glad you made it back in.
So am I. You went to me, and it just went click, and I went, oh, no.
Yeah, that kind of stuff happens. All right. Now, first of all, aside from the fact that McCaffrey's over there causing trouble, what is the general situation now in Amsterdam? Tell us the truth.
Okay, I will give you the truth in 5 paragraphs of my own writing. How about that?
Well, quite frankly,
I know what you mean about people reading stuff over the air.
Yeah.
Trust me on this one, Art.
All right. Well, here's the deal.
Interrupt me.
Yeah, here's the deal. Now, when I first did nighttime talk radio, my boss said, okay, I'll put you out there, but if it doesn't work, the big hook is going to come along and yank you out.
That's fine.
Okay, so under that principle, I'll allow you to go ahead.
Okay, due to the elegance with which the Dutch system of proportional representation and the generally much functions and the generally much more civilized nature of political debate and political process in the Netherlands, the Dutch have been able to partially rid themselves of the yoke of prohibition, albeit under increasingly fierce and vitriolic international bitching, fuming, sniping, name-calling, threats of impending doom, and abrogation of international treaty obligations, particularly on the part of France, Britain, and the United States. Personal possession and use of drugs, both hard and soft, are entirely legal.
Yeah.
The open sale of marijuana, hashish, magic mushrooms, the entire range of ephedrine and pseudoephedrine products, often termed smart drugs, and all other substances not appearing on the officially banned on the list of officially banned substances, like cocaine, heroin, and methamphetamine, is officially tolerated under the Dutch policy.
Right.
The results have been spectacular. Now, since research in the U.S. is forbidden entirely, there is nothing relevant that exists there. However, the same is not the case for the Netherlands.
Well, what is McCaffrey over there saying? I mean, what is he saying it's a failure?
He said, as of the top of the hour, the America Online is where I got it from, that it's been an unmitigated disaster.
Did he quote statistics?
He did not. And the Dutch ambassador to the United States is properly quoted as saying he is confounded and amazed. Because, now, a couple of buttes from the official documentation of the Netherlands drug policy published jointly by the Netherlands Ministry of Health and Justice, updated regularly and entitled appropriately the drug policy of the Netherlands, will elegantly dash some of the pervasive lies which masquerade as common sense on this issue, those lies which Barry McCaffrey is coming to Europe with in his suitcase. First, marijuana. In the absence of the silliness of prohibition, marijuana's appeal and pathology is as follows. Use begins in the late teen years, 17 to 18.
All right, you don't need to go through all this. I know about
it. No, it's one more sentence.
Yeah.
One more sentence. The appeal of the drug peaks at age 23, and its use disappears nearly entirely after age 30. Now, can you imagine trying to tell that to the Partnership for a Drug-Free America?
No.
Okay, now further, cocaine use, the research in the Netherlands shows, does not yield negative sociological, physiological, or psychological results until its use exceeds 2.5 grams per week.
Well, yeah, but it does. I'm
sorry. The research is here.
I happen to disagree with that too.
I think
well,
that's a bunch of crap.
Come up with the figures. Come up with the figures.
All right.
I have quoted for you my source, and you come up with.
All right, look, let me tell you. So hold it. Now, pause now. Let me say something, all right? I'll let you trattle on there. Look, cocaine is a drug that, in order to, unlike marijuana, in order to achieve the same level of high, requires increased dosage. There's no question about that.
No
question about it.
There is a question about
that. No, there isn't. You build a tolerance to it.
You are proceeding from assumptions which are flawed.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
They are not.
Because there are no, because there, the base assumptions, you are proceeding from what you think is common sense, but your common sense is a pervasive fabric of lies. And
No. All right. See, that's all right. Thanks. That's where you and I part company big time. There may be a lot of lies and untruths told about marijuana, but the fact that to achieve the same level of high requires a continued and greater use and an amount of cocaine is a general truth. So, I'm sorry, I disagree with that completely. I think cocaine is an extremely dangerous drug, extremely dangerous, extremely addictive, and ruins lives, not just because it's illegal, but because it really is a very damaging drug. I believe that. And when you try and lump marijuana in with a cocaine, you do irreparable damage to any possibility of a rational drug policy in this country. I don't give a damn what they're doing there. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Ah, hello, Art.
Thank you for waiting.
Not a problem. This is Hans in Seattle, where we listen to you on Como 1000 AM.
That would be tornado country.
Well, yes, which is why I'm calling, actually.
Really?
Really.
Do you have a basement?
Do I have a basement? Yes, I do, as a matter of fact.
You do?
And a little small room in the basement.
Do most people have basements?
I would say probably most people here have basements.
Really?
Yeah. Every house that I have ever been in, which has, of course, been three, at least the older ones have basements because it was the style. The basement was the thing to do.
We don't have them. They told us to go to the basement.
You go dig into clay. You don't like to. The people out there don't like to do that.
Well, we have clay on top, but then we have caliche. Do you know what caliche is?
I'm not a geologist or anything.
Caliche is like steel. I mean, it's really just like steel.
Which is why you guys do a lot of flooding and that sort of thing. Water doesn't go in, and digging into it is a pain, if nothing else. I wanted to call you, though, that you had a woman on before you went to the break that was from this area and was saying that we never have earthquakes. Tornadoes here.
Yeah.
And she is actually very wrong. We have
You're not exactly what I would call Tornado Alley up
no,
there.
No, we're not. And I will agree that they're very rare, but they do happen. In the past 4 years, I believe, we have had four tornadoes, somewhere, give or take. We had two of them about 2 years ago. One of them touched down in a mobile park. Of course. Another one was up in Enumclaw. It didn't actually touch down, but the funnel appeared and then went away. And I believe it was last year or the year before, we had a tornado that touched down in Tacoma and took off a chunk of a church before it went away.
Some guy sent me something really cool that I put on the website. It was called a mobile home tornado escape pod. And it was a thing where if you get a warning and you get a message like that to go to your basement, of course there isn't one. So what happens is, the guy in his easy chair with a supply of beer and television, you just push a button, it all descends down below ground until safe.
Cool. On the Northwest News Channel, they had a thing on tornadoes in this area, and one of the supposed experts on it was saying that recently we have had an increase in tornado sightings, and according to their studies, it is because we have had more people. A lot of the tornadoes, he says, that do occur.
I don't know about
that. This is what he said. I don't know. I mean, I know back in 1965, the year I was born, in November.
There are more tornadoes because there are more people?
No, not because there are more people, but they're being noticed because there are more people.
Oh, I see.
you know, the people are beginning to move out into the country, into the areas where people didn't used to live.
Yeah, that might be an argument that holds water.
I mean, we had a tornado in 1965 that went up about 4 miles in Tacoma, started in a park, knocked down 100-year-old trees, actually went between the house that my parents were in and I was in and our neighbor's house, right between the two of them, and over the little rise and went away. So, I mean, we have tornadoes here. Rarely, yes. Never? No, we have them here.
I have another theory.
Okay.
It's because of the proliferation of mobile homes.
You know, I think there's some sort of magnetic thing that happens when you get a bunch of mobile homes together. It creates some sort of field and
that's
vortex.
Right. That's right. So why is it not equally reasonable to say it's the proliferation of mobile homes? More mobile homes, more tornadoes.
That's a good enough reason for me.
All right, sir.
I'm not going to go into a mobile home.
All right. I appreciate the call. Thank you. Prejudice sucker. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
How are you doing, Art? This is Alan from Pennsylvania.
Where in PA?
I am in the Philadelphia area.
Philadelphia area, all right.
Linda Howe country.
Linda Moulton Howe country, yeah.
Yes.
All right.
And the other night, a gentleman called in.
Got to work fast. We're at a break.
Okay. And he mentioned a man by the name of Alex Collier.
Oh, sure. I've interviewed Alex. Oh, no, I haven't.
No, that's right. You thought it was somebody else.
That's right. Another Collier.
Check the guy out on the website. Wild stuff. Absolutely wild stuff would be perfect for a coast-to-coast and
really?
A Greenland.
All right. I'm up for it. You know me. I'll do anything.
Yeah,
I prove
right.
that all
You're the
time.
Man.
So, yeah, I'll do it.
So you should check him out.
All right.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Take care. Maybe somebody out there who's got a contact number for Alex Collier will be kind enough to send it to me. Sure. Why not? If it's interesting, I'll do it. Somebody else is suggesting that we have a deadline. You know, we've never done that. A line where only the dead could call in. Cool. We'll be right back. This is Coast to Coast AM.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from July 10th, 1998. Presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired July 10th, 1998.
I'm intrigued. Remember Day of the Dead? Was it Night of the Dead, Day of the Dead? The Walking Dead something. Dead have been known to make calls, and so I could have a deadline, couldn't I?
it's worth some thought. Well, here's another fax from Joe in Worcester, Mass. Art, first off, I agree with a lady who called tonight regarding your guest having to give money to this Messiah, wherever he meets him. What's up with that? Secondly, why was your guest chosen to have this revealed to him rather than, say, you or I? Well, I don't know about that. Finally, I have viewed the picture of the Messiah through the link on your website, and it didn't do a lot for me. Actually, it looks kind of like Saddam Hussein. Well, I don't know. Not that much like Saddam, actually, but same genre. I would agree with that. All right, here is the story about McCaffrey. So the caller was correct. The Dutch caller was correct. The Clinton administration's drug czar raised the ire of the Dutch ambassador by criticizing the Netherlands' permissive drug laws. Retired General Barry McCaffrey, who was traveling to Europe today on a fact-finding tour, said the Netherlands' policy of letting its citizens use marijuana and other soft drugs for therapeutic and recreational purposes was, quote, an unmitigated disaster, end quote. The Dutch ambassador to the U.S. said he was, quote, confounded and dismayed, end quote, by McCaffrey's description of the Netherlands' drug policy. He said that on CNN's Talkback Live. Well, again, you see, in this story it says nothing about cocaine. It was my understanding it was the soft drugs that were available. Marijuana, so-called soft drugs, magic mushrooms, various things of that in that particular line, but not cocaine. So, what do I know? I'm here, he's there. I didn't think they made cocaine available. I still don't believe that, but I could be wrong. What I also believe is that cocaine requires increasing dosages to reach the same level of whatever it is you get when you do it. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Is this Art Bell?
What would be your best guess?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh. That was pretty cool. Yeah. Well, how's it going?
Well, it appears to be going all right.
This is Joseph over in Paris, California.
Paris?
Yeah, it's near Riverside.
Okay.
Just like to say that you got a great show going. I was thinking about going to do that stuff, you know, going to radio and stuff like that, and trying to be, you know, kind of cool like you and stuff.
You mean you want to be a talk show host?
Yeah.
Well, why?
Because it seems like you're making a lot of money and stuff, going on all those cruises and trips, you know, to France and Egypt and all that stuff.
So that's why you would want to do it?
Yeah.
You've got your priorities mixed up. You're seeking the rewards before you dive into the meat of the job. I mean, it's like you've got to want to be a talk show host to be a talk show host, and then if the rest of it comes, it comes. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're part of the American instant gratification generation.
Huh? Well, what does that mean?
Well, all right, I'll try and explain. And there's another reason why you're not eligible yet to be a talk show host. What it means is, I ask you, why do you want to be a talk host? And you tell me, well, because I want to go on cruises and go to Paris and stuff like that. And what I'm trying to explain is that is not exactly the way it works. First, you should want to be a talk show host so that, because for the pure joy of the job, of entering that career, of doing that work. And then, if you are successful, things like cruises and trips to Paris can be yours. But in the meantime, you're part of the instant gratification generation in the sense that you want to go to Paris, and that's your primary goal. That's sort of a benefit, a side benefit of it. It's not to... Anyway. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
How are you?
Fine.
My name's Mitch. I'm from Windsor, California.
Yes, sir.
Land of KSRO.
Indeed.
Also a ham operator. I won't give my call sign.
Thank you.
That's a no-no. Just want to let you know that my mother and I both enjoy your show. I've been listening to you for years.
Thank you.
I'm a first-time caller. First, I kind of had a something I wanted to ask you, your at least your opinion on it.
All right.
Was the fact that our fearless leader, Mr. Clinton, when he went to Red China, I feel as though he had ulterior motives other than going over there.
What do you think his motives were?
Well, I don't know if you listened to Mike Savage or Savage Nation.
No.
He had a little insight. He plays on KSFO.
Right. I know of him, but I don't receive KSFO here, so I can't hear him.
Right. Okay. Well, I I'm not the paranoid type, and I'll get to my point. But I think he went over there and to get the officers of communistic China to get onto our battleships for eventually what might be a one world government. You can call me paranoid.
Okay. Pretty paranoid, sir.
Huh?
You're pretty paranoid.
Well, yeah. I mean, I pretty much keep an open mind to it. Just wondering what you thought about his visit over in China and what his real motives were.
Well, you know, actually, in a lot of ways, I thought it came off pretty well publicly. I expected it to be a big disaster.
Right.
It really wasn't.
Okay.
At least as far as I can see. I was in Paris when he was in Tiananmen Square, and I got to see it.
What was that like, being there in Tiananmen Square?
Well, I have not been in Tiananmen Square, sir. I said the president was in Tiananmen Square. I've been in communist China.
Okay.
But not Tiananmen Square.
Uh-huh.
And, it's a scary place.
I bet.
Really, truly scary. You're watched every minute.
Uh-huh.
You're not particularly liked.
Right.
And not particularly welcomed. And you have the feeling that, you know, I don't want to get in trouble here or I'm never getting out. That kind of deal.
Right. It's kind of like going to Mexico, but worse.
And getting in trouble is real easy.
Yeah. I definitely agree, Art.
All right. Take care. I thought publicly, from a PR point of view, the president's trip went pretty well. I didn't know that any Chinese leaders were installed on our battleships. That's a little worrisome, if true. I hadn't heard that. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
I wanted to offer a slightly different viewpoint on what you said earlier about Christ being a socialist. I would make the argument that Christ upheld the keeping of all the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
And because he told us to love one another and to love God.
Right.
And if you keep the first four, your obligation of love to God is served, and if you keep
But suppose, for example, you're really a rich guy.
Mm-hmm.
You have so much more than you need to maintain your own level of comfort, whatever that might be.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And you don't help anybody out. And you walk past people who need help. And you drive past people who need help.
Mm-hmm.
In your mind, scoffing at them. Or at least not giving a damn.
Oh, I think Christ told us what to do. He told the rich man, when the rich man that told him that, you know, he kept all the Ten Commandments, and then Christ asked him, would you give all your money and help the poor? And the rich guy had to think about that. Because basically, that falls back on another truism that I think it's in the Bible. It says that the root of all evil is the love of money. But money itself is not the evil thing. It's the love of money, the lust for more money. And
well, what does lust for more money mean?
I think it's
do you have a job?
Oh, yes, sir.
Do you?
I'm working right now.
You're working now.
Wonderful.
So you're calling me on your boss's time, right?
Well, it's a very easy...
What would the good Lord say about that?
Well,
anyway, that's not the point. And you're calling on a toll-free number, so I guess it's all right.
Yeah.
But my question is, you make what? By the hour, you make...
About $9.50.
$9.50. Mm-hmm. Do you want to make more?
Yeah, well, that's not the point. I guess that's not the problem. I guess
Do you lust for $13 an hour or $16 an hour?
I guess there's a fine line, maybe.
Yes.
You know, I think though that there are some people in the world that money has become their god, and that's where it becomes a sin. One thing that's interesting about communism or socialism is that, you know, a lot of people have the idea that it's a share the wealth program, but every country in the world that's ever, you know, foisted communism onto its people has been a consolidate and control the wealth program. And, you know, which brings up an interesting thing that I've been studying, oftentimes communist movements have been started by rich guys. There are several books that you can get from, I forget the author's name, but he writes about communism and or the rise. I think his argument was like Wall Street and the rise of Bolshevism, and Wall Street, the rise of Hitler. He has like four books.
You know, pure communism sounds good, and when I say pure, I mean pure. I've seen no example of it on this planet yet, because it always becomes perverted, and those with the power take the money.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like, to me, an ingenious vote-buying scheme, which in this country it's being done under the name of liberalism, I think, largely, and the Republicans are letting it happen.
Actually, though, it's being also practiced by Republicans.
They're both doing
it. Everybody's buying votes.
Well, the Republicans, in my mind, and the Democrats, I don't even know if you can really divide it up, but they're both... They're basically for welfare for the rich,
That's why I finally gave up on the Republican Party, because the entire system is oriented toward buying votes one way or the other, largesse distributed to those who have realized they can get it.
Well, that's why I like the libertarian arguments.
Me too.
Basically, they want to divorce government from so many issues that basically the government can't use these issues to divide and conquer us and to basically control
us. Here, you're right on.
I called in that night that you had Harry Brown on, very last caller, and I really think it's wonderful that they're getting your support.
I will have Harry on again.
Can I ask you another thing? Some time ago, you had a guest on, I forget his name, but he was arguing that he was the real life Jerry Fletcher. Do you remember who that guy's name was? You were going to check him
out. Yes, I do. I did check him out.
Yeah, what did you find out?
Mixed results.
Really? In
a way, that's what you would have to expect with the real-life Jerry Fletcher. Mixed results, right? There were about half the people I contacted who thought that he was loony bins, and the other half backed up what he said. So... I didn't immediately have him on again. I thought about it, and I've still got the number, and I'll probably have him on again.
Because he advertises, or I guess it's him that's advertising in a paper that I get, the Spotlight, and it's in the classified section. And I've been thinking about, you know, I think he's selling a book or something, and I said, well, I'll wait until he gets back on Art Show and then give it a thought to maybe buy something.
All right, well, hang in there. I'll probably have him back on. Yeah, the conspiracy theory guy, the real-life Fletcher. Eyeballs taped open, the whole thing. Mind control. Very interesting. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello?
Hello.
Is our bell?
Everybody asks that. Turn your radio off, please.
Okay.
Can you get it off?
Uh-huh.
Good. Yes, this is Art Bell.
Hello. Hi, this is Ray from Washington.
Yes, sir. Tornado country.
Yeah.
What's
up? In fact, we had one last couple years, in fact, in a row. Last year was the Tacoma incident.
Well, all I can say to you is you guys better behave yourselves.
I was wondering if you heard of a book called The Bible Code.
Yes, Michael Drosnin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Have you looked into that at all?
I have.
What do you think of that?
Well, I don't know. They say that it's mathematically proven. But if you do a search and you look, you sound nervous.
I don't know. I got a hold of you.
I see. Well, if you do a search and you're looking for specific phrases in something as lengthy as the Bible, you're going to find them. Now, whether it's supportable that you find them with scientific regularity or not yet, I have not determined. But A lot of people are saying it is absolutely so. I just wonder why God would put stuff in a code.
Oh, yeah, well,
In other words, why not just say it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for the call. Why not just say it? Thou shalt not kill. It's very clear. Why would God put predictions about when presidents are going to be killed in a code that would have to be deciphered by a computer into the Bible? That part bothers me a little bit, but I'm open to a possibility that it is scientifically verifiable. Believe me, I'm open. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Well, hi, Art. It's a real pleasure to get a hold of you.
Glad you have. Where are you?
Jeffrey calling from Ohio.
Ohio. Yes, Jeffrey.
It's extremely early. Well, actually, I wanted to tell you a couple of things that Helena Blavatsky of the Theosophical Society.
Yes.
She came right out and said that the Masters of Wisdom are satanic demons.
Well.
And.
There's a lot of people that believe that, I know.
Yeah, and were you aware that Benjamin's magazine, Share International, is actually supported by the UN for some reason?
Really?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, then maybe the UN believes that Benjamin's Maitreya is real and is going to come back and organize the world in the way that the UN hasn't been able to do yet.
Yeah, no doubt. Don't you find that kind of shocking that the UN would be involved with something like that?
No.
Really?
No.
I mean, that's an awfully big, you know, I've done a lot of study on this guy in the last year and a half, and...
I don't even think we ought to pay our dues. I mean, as far as I'm concerned,
I totally agree.
Yeah?
Yeah. Did they ever pay those parking tickets, by the way?
You know what? They said, the UN yesterday said that if we don't pay our debt, they're going to take our vote away.
Oh, you know, Russia's got 15 now. That was a cool move.
He's what?
Russia has 15 votes now. Isn't that a cool move?
Well, how can they afford it is my question.
Absolutely. I don't know if they're paying their dues either. I think we're supposed to do it 25% or something.
Well, you know, probably the deal is that we're going to pay for Russia's dues while ignoring our own.
You got it.
After all, we're paying for their space program and largely ignoring our own.
Mm-hmm.
We're paying to have their nukes... taken apart.
Yeah, well, we're a loving country. We got a lot to give. We're very sharing, you know.
Did you hear the report earlier tonight about some defector who says there are teams training even in the U.S. to assassinate American...
I did. I was reading that. I actually got email on that from a buddy of mine.
Great friends, huh?
Quite interesting stuff. Yeah, I've got...
I wonder if I'd be on that list. They would have to take over broadcasting, right?
Oh, Lord, I hope not. You're providing an incredible service here.
Listen, can you hold during the break?
Please.
Okay, stand by. We'll be right back. From the high desert, this is Coast to Coast AM.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from July 10, 1998.
Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from July 10, 1998.
Welcome to the program, those of you who join at this hour. Anything is possible tonight, anything at all. Who knows? But then again, that's kind of the way I like it. Well, all right, from Terrence the following. Art, the eye of the needle is a place, a narrow passage where a camel can get through and barely get through loaded. Hence, a rich man like yourself, quite a presumption on your part, I must add, can get to heaven, but it's a rough passage. Thanks, Terrence. Who says I'm rich? Besides, what is rich? I'm really not rich. First-time caller line, you're back on the air. Hi.
Hi, hi there. Well, it looks like I made it through the break. That's good. I'm from the U.S.
It's true.
So, really, the main reason I called was, like I started to say, I've spent about a year and a half really digging into this whole Share International / Benjamin Krem / Maitreya bit.
Right.
And I feel like I might be able to offer some insight for some of those questions you were puzzling about.
Okay, fire away.
What's on your mind? You asked a couple of questions.
Well, I mean, there are all kinds of questions to ask with regard to what he said tonight. For example, why would he be required to or be aware that he was in the presence of Maitreya when he met a beggar?
Yeah. He has all sorts of question and answer pages each month, and it's all on the net.
Well, I know, but you just said you could answer questions.
He speaks a lot about, kind of like being tested, and so much of this seems to be about whether or not the world is ready, and it seems like there has to be a certain amount of faith. It's a very interesting new religion, but I guess it's heavily based on the New Age movement. With the esoteric and all this, but
the answer is it's a test.
Yeah.
Okay.
I actually went down to his lecture in Atlanta last November.
Oh, there are a lot of people though who really. That's why I put the man on the air, because people by the gazillions have been asking me to do so. So
yeah, absolutely. He's a very interesting man. That's for
yes.
sure. I actually saw the man. When he was being overshadowed by Maitreya, which at the beginning and the end of his lecture, he does an overshadowing. And this lasted about 20 minutes, perfectly silent room, lights dimmed down to about 50%, and I swear to you, he was glowing, okay? Like a lighthouse, he was glowing. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Well, I have learned not to mock or not to disbelieve just about anything, because I've been caught up too many times, brought up short when something turns out to be true. So,
sure.
I just remain open.
Yeah, it's a very interesting thing. I've got a huge web page or website on it. I gave the link to Keith, so maybe he'll link it up.
Okay, well, right now we've already got about five or six links up there.
Yeah, this one kind of links up UFOs. E.T., crop circles, Maitreya.
Well, he talked about that, too. I'm sure you heard him. Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it. Yeah, he's a very interesting man. Now, I understand that if you've not heard of him, or if you don't know of Benjamin Krem, then to hear him suddenly, and to hear only an hour, hour and a half in this case, you might sit there and think, crackpot city. And you might be right. Or you might be wrong. Now, on my website, there's an abundance of links, and you can do some reading and see what you think. But there are many, many, many people out there, believe me, like the man you just heard, quite articulate, who follow exactly what he says, understand it, and tend to believe it. So there you are. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art.
Hey.
This is Ray up in St. George, Utah.
Yes, sir.
Listening to, what is it, KDXU 890?
Oh, they're actually a very powerful station.
Yeah.
KDXU comes in here, just crushes into the area where I am. Just a crusher of a signal.
Yeah, I heard one night some guy said he was in Phoenix and he was listening to it.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, 890 on the dial, same as WLS in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
but out west here, and then big signal, yeah.
Hey, Art, you remember in the first hour somebody said about having a bull running in Nevada?
They're going to do it, yeah.
I sent you a fax a little earlier from the Spectrum up here. They're talking about it. This is, I think they had it today. There's about 600 people who's going to run in it.
Crazy as loons.
And if, you know, it's even crazier. They paid $50 each to do it.
I know, and plus they were required to do it sober. I think that was a completely unreasonable. I mean, if you're going to do something like that, you've got to be tanked.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what sane, sober person would pay money to run in front of a perfectly good bull?
Exactly. Hey, Art, little thing I was talking about with one of the guys that worked here the other day. You know how, was it November there's supposed to be a meteor shower coming through?
Oh, it's going to be a beaut.
In the scriptures, in the Bible, does it, in, like in Revelation or something like that, doesn't it say that there's, isn't there like wormwood that's supposed to come down from the sky and kill about a third of the Earth's population or something?
Poison
like
the waters, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, doesn't that kind of like ring a bell or something?
Well,
you know, who knows?
Did you know that Chernobyl translates to wormwood?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Very interesting.
Uh-huh. I appreciate your call. Come November, I am going to do my program from outside. It is going to take quite a bit of preparation to do. But during that intense meteor shower, I am not going to stay inside and do this show. I'm going to do it from outside. I don't know how I'm going to do it just yet, but I guarantee you I'm going to do it. We are also going to have a night vision webcam pointed at the appropriate part of the sky. It's going to be very interesting. Maybe we'll get to see a big one out there and talk it in. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Listen, I think the reason people say Art Bell when you answer the phone, they don't realize that you're not screening the calls. So
yeah,
folks,
I know. I know.
Call them directly in. There's a mystery of the world solved for you. Say, got to tell you my libertarian joke before I get off the air, but what's the kingdom of Nye?
Nye County, Nevada.
Ah, thank you. Remote viewing or clairvoyancy. My reading from a distance. It exists, yes?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a defense against it?
We have discussed that at some length with remote viewers. And the answer is a qualified yes.
I see. There'd be ways I could find out if one was considered espionage by remote viewing or something like
that.
Yeah,
if one's able to, I guess, master the discipline of remote viewing and get very good at it, then one would or might be aware when one is being remotely viewed.
Very good, sir. Libertarian joke, world premiere. How many libertarians does it take to change a light bulb?
I don't know.
Well, that would be none. Because once libertarians find out that they're not bothering anybody, they're content to sit in the dark. Now, the reason I say that, Art, had a caller call into the most prominent political on the radio yesterday. He said he was libertarian, but he was going to vote Republican because he sees that the Libertarian Party is not going anywhere.
Well, he was a plant call then.
Oh, seriously, that's an interesting comment.
Well, it's an interesting comment, but I could make the same comment about the Republican Party or the Democrat Party.
I see. Well,
I mean, look, in the case of the Republicans and the Democrats, we have had all our lives and the lives of those who have come before us to observe where it has brought us.
I understand.
I
spent many hours, up to 40 or 50, with a well-known libertarian talking about libertarian philosophy, and I ascertained certain theoretical shortcomings in the libertarian theory. For example, there is no allowance for greater good.
Yes, there is. It simply relies on the on churches, on volunteer organizations, instead of the government. So what are you talking about?
All right. Bear with me, sir. You're being most polite, and I am very respectful of you and your endeavors. I understand that Churchill had to make a decision during World War II, finding out that a village of 800 people were about to be bombed. Now, had he taken, in his own country, if he had taken a defense to trigger that, he would have triggered to the Germans that the code had been broken, therefore jeopardizing many, many instances, even D-Day, that would have cost thousands, hundreds of thousands of lives.
So he made the decision for the greater good.
There, yes, and what I pointed out to my libertarian friends, and I've been to libertarian parties, and they tried to recruit me, and actually I have for you the gentleman who's a great future presidential candidate. I'd love to turn him over to you. He's in college now, but in any event, that's a conversation for another time. That libertarian philosophy is very absolutist, and it would not allow for that greater good scenario.
Okay, I appreciate the call. I'm not so sure about that. I'm not so sure the greater good wouldn't allow for the greater good. I'm not so sure about that. I think that would be within the philosophy. I think that libertarians would be very unlikely to get involved in any conflict that didn't come to their own shores, or that they weren't sure was going to. So it would be, from a military involvement point of view, there would be a military. Libertarian Party certainly allows for national defense. But it would protect its own shores and would not be likely to be very adventuresome. You know, protecting the world, as we appear to be doing right now. The world's cops, as we appear to be right now. West of the Rockies, you are on the air. Good morning.
Morning, this is Steve from Eugene, Oregon.
Hi, Steve.
Yeah, did you have anybody call back about the running of the bulls in Nevada?
Well, somebody just mentioned it, and I had a conversation with a caller about it. I, you know, $50 and you're in.
Oh, okay. I just heard it in the first hour, and I had to turn off for a while, and I didn't know if anybody filled in any details. So, yeah, that's interesting.
And plus, you have to be sober.
Yeah, which is different than over in Italy. One question for you.
Sure.
How do you deal with people that seem a little shy of a full deck?
No, one at a time.
You have great patience.
Well, look, I'm of the view that if you're reasonably talented as a talk host, you can talk to anybody about anything and have it come out to be, I don't know, somehow entertaining, informative, funny, something.
Yeah, because if it were me, I would commit radio rage.
Would you?
Yeah.
Well, I've done it on occasion, but I think as I've grown older, I've become more tolerant.
Yes. All right. Well, I enjoy your show.
Thank you, and take care. Radio, he would commit radio rage. It happens very rarely to me these days. It can occur, but very rarely. I've become more tolerant. And as I said, I don't screen calls. As a matter of fact, that's all, in all of the articles. There's a bunch of articles about me. There's a page plus in Newsweek this week about this program. There are four pages in the current issue of Penthouse about this program, a very extensive article. I thought it was pretty cool to be in Newsweek. And we'll be in a number of other publications. But current issues on the stand, if you go out and get Newsweek, you will have the rare copy that has a story about Coast to Coast AM this week, Newsweek. Not the July 6th issue, but the one that comes after that. I think it actually came out on Monday. Some areas don't get it till later in the week, but you can go out and get it now, and you'll see it. And then Penthouse has my name on it, but usually Penthouse is behind the counter, so you have to ask for that. I'm waiting to see if my mom has a copy. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art, how's it going?
It's going fine.
Congratulations on the new air conditioner.
Oh, well, thank you.
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to make a comment, how everyone keeps saying that the end is near. And I hate to spoil their end of the world parties, but we're kind of living in the middle of the end as we speak.
In other words, these are the end days, but it's not over yet?
Like the R.E.M. song said, it's the end of the world as we know it.
It's not over until the guy in the gray beard says so?
Whatever it is, we're in the middle of it.
Well, with that, I certainly agree. Thank you. We are in the middle of it, to be sure. Oh, we're in the middle of something. We're in the middle of something that is coming, and coming now rapidly. I believe that with every fiber of my being. Not necessarily the end of the world. I'm not an end of the worlder, because the world is going to go on. However, whether we continue to walk upon it and twirl upon it, that's a different question entirely. West of the Rockies, you're a dial tone. You're boring. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi. Going once, going twice, gone. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, Art, how you doing?
Okay.
This is Jeff in Topanga Canyon, California.
Hi, Jeff.
I had a comment about the Antichrist.
Okay. He called earlier.
I don't think so. I think the trait of the Antichrist would be to try and seduce you and kind of bloat your own self-image so that he could...
Well, a lot of callers do that. Doesn't work.
But the Antichrist tonight didn't do that.
You mean he didn't suck up?
Exactly.
Well, I mean, time will tell. He sounded eerily relaxed and sure of himself. I didn't like that part very much.
That pretty much sucks, as far as the argument on his part.
Think so?
Yeah. I also had a list of some post-discontinuity pickup lines.
Post-discontinuity pickup lines?
Yeah. Number 10?
Right. Yes.
So, what rock did you crawl out from under? Number 9. Is it hot out here, or is it you? 8. Can
yes.
I buy you a drink of water?
Yes.
7. Mine shaft or yours?
That's pretty good.
6. How about a cold shower? 5. Let's go into the tunnel of lava. 4. I love the way you sizzle. 3. My cave has a pool. 2. Mind if I smoke? And number 1. Want to go outside Friday night? Thanks, Art.
That's a symptom of too much Ed Dames. Listen, discontinuity is upon me. The show is over. Tell everybody good night.
Good night, America.
That's it. That's how it's done. Brad Steiger on Sunday. Monday, Malachi Martin from the High Desert. Good night.